This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The outcry over the Trump administration's policy of separating children from their families at the southern border is intensifying. Among the arguments cited by Trump administration officials to defend its zero-tolerance policy, Bible verses. Here with us now is Alan Vigneron. He's the Archbishop of Detroit, which makes him the spiritual leader of more than 1.5 million Catholics in Southeast Michigan. Archbishop Vigneron is back from a meeting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, where last week criticism of the administration's policy emerged from the church's top American leaders. Welcome back to Stateside, Archbishop.
Thank you very much, Ms. Canty. Great to be here.
So the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops calls this policy immoral. How so?
It's immoral because of the damage it does to children. This creates a situation in which these children are separated from their parents. And it really is using this separation, it seems, as I understand the matter, as a kind of a deterrent to prevent border crossings. And this is not a proportionate deterrent for the implementation of this policy.
As you have, like so many of us, as you've seen the images from our southern border of these migrant children, the images of these government centers where the children are being held, what have you been feeling?
Concern, obviously, fear for the trauma that this is doing to these children. Imagine the fear that they have being taken from their parents. This is a great injury to them here at a vulnerable time in their life.
Let's listen to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who is defending the zero tolerance policy, and then we'll talk about this on the other side.
I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
So that verse from Romans 13 is, everyone is to obey the governing authorities because there is no authority except from God, and so whatever authorities exist have been appointed by God. Archbishop Vigneron, can you give us some historical context? What was going on in the church when Paul wrote those lines?
He was understanding that there is a legitimate place for those who exercise civil authority, but it's not certainly an absolute authority. The moral authority of the government is subject to the order that God has written into creation. He's writing to Christians, asking them to find an appropriate way to respond to the authority of the Roman emperor. And the New Testament has a number of admonitions to respect that authority. But respecting it and cooperating with the common good does not give those in civil authority an absolute right for every law that they make.
And historians point out that that particular verse from Romans 13 was used in this country in the 1840s and 1850s to defend slavery by the Nazis in 1930s Germany and by South Africa's white majority to defend apartheid. So how would you answer the Attorney General and others pointing to that verse from Romans 13 to defend these policies that are separating families?
Well, I would begin by saying that there are many ways that people in governmental authority have misused the scripture, and not only those that you've cited, but a whole array of people. But my response is that scripture has to be interpreted within the context of the tradition of faith. Along with that text from the letter to the Romans was the admonition to the Christians not to obey the government when it required burning incense to the emperor.
And did it also later, a little bit lower in Romans 13, does he not also say, love your neighbor as yourself? Love does no harm to your neighbor.
Yes, St. Paul speaks eloquently of the call to love. No one scripture verse can provide a blueprint for how to harmonize the various goods that those in government have to protect.
If you've just joined us, we're speaking with Detroit Archbishop Alan Vigneron. You have made, Archbishop, a number of statements on our immigration policies, from the ban on immigration from Muslim-majority countries to what's happening along our southern border. What's prompted you to want to speak out to the Catholics of Southeast Michigan about this?
Well, that fundamentally, we have a broken immigration system, and this failure in the system is not particular to this recent administration. It goes back for years and years. It needs to be addressed, and in particular, we need to take account of the harm that the current system has been doing to families. This is of great concern, especially to us bishops. And to see the damage that's done by this broken system is very, very concerning.
And then, but how do you respond to those who say, hey, there are rules and you cannot just walk across the border and break our laws without consequence?
Well, we also recognize, we Catholic bishops, that the government has a responsibility to secure our borders and keep us safe. What we need to do is find a way to accomplish all of these goods and harmoniously. That's the responsibility of our elected leaders, to understand how to accomplish these various goods. I'm not a political leader. This isn't the job God gave me to do. I'm a pastoral leader, and my job is to articulate solid moral wisdom in these matters. And I know that we need to accomplish both the security of our borders, maintaining the rule of law, and at the same time, treat people with respect and protect families.
Archbishop Vigneron, this week marks the 75th anniversary of the 1943 Detroit racial unrest. 34 people were killed and over 400 people hurt in 2 days of violence. And you're marking this anniversary with the first in a series of pastoral notes. And you're calling on Metro Detroit's Catholics to do what exactly?
Well, first of all, we need to recognize that our history as Americans has been deeply marred by sinful acts of racism. We need to recognize that. We need to offer prayers to God to forgive us for that and find ways to resolve to overcome this heritage.
In fact, as I look at your pastoral note, a couple of lines really kind of I thought were particularly challenging about the way people of color have been treated. Your words here, as second-class citizens or worse. And you write, I'm quoting here, complicit in these sins were many who profess the Catholic faith. Shamefully, this even includes priests, bishops, and other Catholic leaders. That is a stern view of history.
Well, I think it's an honest view. As I think about this matter, what comes to my mind is St. John Paul, who, as we looked, he was preparing us to turn the corner into the 21st century, spoke frequently about a healing of memories. And it isn't sufficient simply to move on. We need to recognize what happened, to repent for it, to ask God to forgive us, and to resolve to do better. And it is a matter of shame that we didn't do everything we should have. In fact, we were complicit, and we need to ask God's pardon for that.
Archbishop Vigneron, we have Catholics in positions of power right now in Washington. House Speaker Paul Ryan, once an altar boy. And let's take a listen to Presidential Advisor Kellyanne Conway.
As a mother, as a Catholic, as somebody who's got a conscience, I will tell you that nobody likes this policy.
So what are you and the other bishops saying to these prominent Catholics in Washington?
Well, through our organs, whether they're the people who help us in Washington, D.C., and then here at the grassroots, all of us are asking for our elected leaders to find a way forward to fix this broken immigration system, at the same time fulfilling their responsibility to uphold the order of law and to protect our borders. They can do this, and we are asking them, please, to fulfill this responsibility.
What's at stake here, in your view?
Well, certainly the welfare of these children is one of the most important things that's at stake. I also think building a future in our country that's focused on the well-being of families. There are lots of ways our elected leaders need to be attentive to that. This is one particular way where we need to put families first as a matter of public policy. And I think being faithful to our tradition of treating people with dignity, even people who have broken the law deserve to be treated with dignity. I think that's very much at the heart of our ideal as an American people.
The Most Reverend Alan Vigneron, Archbishop of Detroit, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
You're very welcome.